This is Living the Dream.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Living the Dream. If you'd like to join us on the air, you can do so by calling us at 877-230-3062. Joining us now is one of our affiliates, Marcus May. Marcus, why don't you tell us a little bit if this is maybe the first time folks are getting introduced to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your company, and a little bit about what you do.
Sure, Leo. I've been on the show a number of times, but for those that aren't aware, I'm with a law firm called Eckert Colak down here in downtown Chicago in the Loop. I'm a lawyer who practices in the business area, so no litigation, nothing of that nature. It's just helping people buy and sell businesses, get set up in business, and operate businesses. It's all transactional work, and it seems like it's starting to pick up, which is a good sign for the economy. A lot of people are happy to see more deals happening these days.
Well, good. Well, that's kind of a good lead-in, because I know today's topic, you're talking a little bit about the whole formation process, kind of how do you select a business entity, and how do you form your business. Maybe why don't we start with some of the basics? Aren't there maybe four or five different kinds of business entities that are out there? Why don't you maybe touch a little bit on those, what those different ones are?
Absolutely, and you're right. There's a number of basic entities that people generally think of when they're thinking of businesses. One is Jane, the 7-year-old girl, sets up a lemonade stand. That's a business. It's a sole proprietorship. That's where an individual carries on business for a profit. That's really all it is. There's a lot of people who just go out, start businesses, do it under their own name or even under an assumed name, and call it Mark's Mechanic Shop. And they're in business by themselves. It's under their social security number, and that's called a sole proprietorship. Anybody can do that. Anytime you get more than one person involved, where there's two or more people carrying on business for a profit, that's called a partnership. Everyone's heard of a partnership, a couple of people going into business together, and so you run into a partnership where you have 2, 3, 4, 5, even hundreds of people that get together and do business together. But there's problems with these two forms of entities in that you have potential personal liability. So if something goes wrong with the company, you're personally on the hook. And you maybe expect that with a sole proprietorship and try to cover yourself with insurance. But with a partnership, you begin to think, well, if my partner does something wrong, should I really be personally liable for this and lose my home? And most people say no. And so they go out and do something different, such as setting up a corporation or a limited liability company and things of that nature to try to address those needs, because those limited liability entities, you're generally only on the hook for what you've put into the company. We talked in a prior show about piercing the corporate veil and ways people can
Right.
your personal assets, but you run your company right, you should be able to obtain limited liability and not be personally liable for anything other than your own personal actions.
Okay. And what are some, so you've got sole proprietor, limited liability. What is that, general partnership? Is that
general partnership? There were also limited partnerships that were created years ago. Those are still good entities, and a lot of people still like to deal with limited partnerships in estate planning circumstances, but generally speaking, the limited liability companies and what we call S corporations have taken over what limited partnerships did in the past as far as obtaining limited liability. A C corporation, you sometimes hear people say, well, I'm incorporated. That's just a general corporation that's been incorporated is what's called a C corporation.
Okay.
And so, most of the big companies out there, they will all be C corporations, and what that is it's a separate entity. It gets taxed as a separate entity, and then when payment goes out to the different owners, then that gets taxed again. So a lot of business owners don't like that idea of being taxed twice.
I see.
And that's where Congress created the S corporation under subchapter S of the Internal Revenue Code. It allows for flow-through taxation directly to the owner. and you only get one level of taxation. The limited liability company is something that was actually started in Wyoming in the early 1990s and was adopted in the late 90s in Illinois. It also allows for that flow-through taxation, such as you get with partnerships and sole proprietorships and S-corporations. But the thing that really makes the limited liability the entity of choice these days, and that a lot of people are going towards, is that the limited liability company allows different types of shareholders and different ways of dealing with the company as far as profits and losses and organization are concerned that are not allowed with an S-corporation. The subchapter S-corporation, the shareholders generally need to be individuals or grantor trusts. So if I have a company, a corporation, that's incorporated, it cannot be a shareholder of an S-corporation. But if I have a corporation that wants to invest in a limited liability company, it can do so. If I have a pension fund that wants to invest in a limited liability company, it can do so. It couldn't do so with an S-corporation. So the limited liability companies, what we're seeing these days is lots of clients are going that way. It tends to be a little bit more expensive on an annual basis with a filing fee, but it also doesn't have all the corporate formalities required with a corporation. Do you know what I mean when I talk about corporate formalities?
Well, why don't you, I do, but why don't you cover, just like give us a quick summary. You've got about 5 minutes left. I want to hit some of the key points. What would be some of those formalities? What do you have to keep in mind?
Yeah, well, with a corporation, you need to have annual meetings.
Okay.
You need to have an annual meeting of the shareholders that elect the board of directors, and then the board of directors needs to elect officers, and then you need to have corporate minutes that keep track of everything that has happened and approve major actions within the company. With an LLC, at least in Illinois, those corporate formalities are not required. So it may lead to a little bit of streamlining. I generally tell all my clients to document everything they do, whether they're an LLC or a corporation, but that can sort of offset some of the costs of the limited liability company. But either way, you're not talking about a lot of money. It's basically $125 per year difference in filing fee, roughly.
Okay, so it sounds like there, and one thing that's important, which is why might be important to work with somebody locally, is this is dependent on the state you're in. So obviously you're an expert in Illinois law. So this is not a federal registration. This is a local, this is a state. You register with the Secretary of State, right?
That's right, Leo. That's an excellent point. If you're doing business in Illinois and then you go and do business in another state, you may need to register your company in that state to do business, but you don't need to create a new entity. So, for instance, IBM may be registered in New York, but they only get licensed to do business in other states they do business in. And certainly if you're doing business beginning in Illinois, that's probably the place you want to incorporate. There may be some situations where you may want to go for another type of state if you think its laws may be more beneficial to you. A lot of attorneys like Delaware for some of the larger, more complex types of organizations where you think you may be going public down the road, things of that nature.
So it sounds like one of the rules of thumb are where if you're the majority of your business is done in a particular state, such as Illinois, then you'd want to start by registering in the state of Illinois, and then maybe one of the things is try to figure out if there's a reciprocity agreement with some of the other local states if you do a small amount of business in a contingent state. Is that correct?
Actually, I have not seen a situation where there's a reciprocity type agreement between states yet.
Uh-huh.
Maybe something that comes down the road. But right now, if you do business in another state, you need to register there.
Okay,
however,
good.
Doing business in a state really is not the same as selling goods into another state. Generally speaking, and there's a lot of legal mumbo-jumbo and research that goes into this, but you need to have some sort of a presence in the state and generally a physical type presence in a state. in order to be subject to its jurisdiction and needing to register there.
Well, one thing is kind of a compliment to you. One thing is that when you and I have worked together, I think if you're a business person out there and you're trying to understand all this stuff, one of the things that Marcus, I think, brings to the table is you can explain kind of the nature of your business, how it works, what you do in business terms and, you know, in English. And what I think Marcus does well is then he'll convert it into what are the legal implications of that and explain it to you in English. So I think you do a great job with that, Marcus. And if there are people out there that are interested in learning about this, how do they get in touch with you?
Just check us out on the web. I have a website, www.eckhart.com, or www.illinois-business-lawyer.com, and the phone number 312-236-0646.
Awesome. Well, Marcus, time flies. Thank you very much for being out here, and you can always check out Marcus right on our homepage over at mydreambiz.net. Just click on Marcus May, and you'll go right over to his homepage. So, Marcus, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks a lot, Louis.
Awesome. So, hey, next week we're going to have another one of our affiliates, Heather Barisell. She's with the Spencer Insurance Agency, and she's going to talk about a very timely topic, shopping for health insurance and how to maximize your benefits. So stay tuned for more of Living the Dream next week.